Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Amen. Well, I want to continue this morning talking about the series that we've been in on this beautiful Pentecost Sunday. It's a series we entitled Just Like Jesus. Some of you guys know that just like Jesus did, we need the person and the power of Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus, we need the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And throughout this series, we have been looking at this one verse, and I want to lay it down today as we get going. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Somebody say amen to the word. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And so we can see very quickly, church, that we're supposed to live just like Jesus. And listen to me, if you're going to live just like Jesus, now let me ask that question. Is that my opinion that we should live just like Jesus, or is that God's command? It's God's command. If you're going to live just like Jesus, if you're going to live just like Jesus, you have to have a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. If you're going to live just like Jesus, you have to have a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Why? The truth is this, the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Why? Because just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is your teacher, the Holy Spirit is your friend, and he is your God, and he loves you. He wants to be close to you. He wants to know you, and he wants to fill your life with good things. That is who the Holy Spirit is. Is anyone thankful for the person of Holy Spirit? And I'm thankful for Holy Spirit. And we can actually see in John 14, we've read this text a couple times, where Jesus is revealing the Holy Spirit for the first time to his disciples. He lets them know that he's going to heaven, but he's gonna ask the Father to send another. Somebody say another. This word another is the word allos, and it means another of the same kind. Jesus is revealing right there that word allos. He says, I'm going to send another advocate. The word another is the Greek word allos. Jesus is saying, I'm sending someone who is just like me. I'm sending someone who is just like me. And then that word advocate is the word parakletos in the Greek. That word means advocate. It means counselor, comforter, helper. He says, yes, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm sending someone just like me who wants to help you, who wants to teach you, who wants to comfort you and walk with you so you can live in the fullness of what I desire to give you. Isn't that amazing that God is so good to us? Are you thankful that Jesus was able to say, I'm sending the Holy Spirit? Am I thankful for that? So we can see how important this is, church, that just like Jesus, we have the person of Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand as we look at this on this Pentecost Sunday, Holy Spirit is just like Jesus, and just like we need Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. Just like we need Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. Listen, just like you need Jesus to live in the fullness of your identity here in the earth and the kingdom, just like you need Jesus to walk out your purpose, you need the Holy Spirit to live in the fullness of your identity. You need the Holy Spirit to live in the fullness of the purpose that God has for you. If you want to be the best version of yourself, you need the Holy Spirit to do it. If you believe that, say amen. So if you say, well, Pastor, I want to be a better husband, you need the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I want to be a better mother. You need the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I want to be a better disciple. You need the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I want to go to Walmart. You need the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Listen, in every part of who you are, no matter who it is, you need the person of Holy Spirit. And if you really, in this season, want to walk in the supernatural life, not just this natural, mediocre life, but a supernatural, miraculous filled life that God desires for you. You need the person of Holy Spirit. Look to your neighbor and say, we need the Holy Spirit. Come on, tell them. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And so we can understand that Jesus, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Holy Spirit and he left the earth. But that's why Jesus was so intentional. He didn't say, hey guys, you guys go and tarry in Jerusalem if you want to. He said, no. He said, you need to go stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. He did. Listen, it wasn't a question. It wasn't a thought. He literally commanded them. How many of you guys know if Jesus commands it, we need to do it? If Jesus, he didn't say, hey, I think this is a good idea. He said, you need to go do this. Go do this. And here's what he said in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, here's what he said. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what he said. But go back to Acts 1, 4, and 5, and you'll see what he said. He was eating with them. Why? Because Jesus knew we needed to sometimes break bread together. Come on. That's why we're having a bake sale. Come on. Once he was eating with them, Jesus commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Who's the gift? Holy Spirit. Let me go ahead and make this clear right now, because some of you have an issue with it. We'll talk about it. When he's talking about the gift, he is not talking about tongues. How many of you guys know the gift of Holy Spirit is not tongues? The gift of Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. Tongues are a benefit. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the gift is not tongues. When the Father sends the gift, that gift is the person and the power of Holy Spirit. But here's what he says. Go back to that verse so we can see it quickly. He says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. He said, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is very clear. He is in no way ambiguous in this statement. Jesus is very clear to his disciples. You need the baptism with the person and the power of Holy Spirit. He says that, and you say, why? Because just like they needed Jesus, they needed the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Because we're people just like they were people, just like we need Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. And so we can recognize, even through God's word, how many of you guys know that Jesus, for everything the Father desired him to do, he needed the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Acts 10:38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. So just like Jesus, we need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So what do we find? Those people that God, Jesus commanded to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift the Father was sending. They waited in the upper room, praying, reading, positioning themselves for the gift of Holy Spirit. And it was during the Feast of Pentecost, literally on a day just like today, they were in that upper room together. And we go to Acts chapter 2, and something supernatural happened. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, meaning that the day of Pentecost, it was the Feast of Pentecost that day, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled how much of the house? Filled the whole house. It didn't fill some of the house. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon some of them. Each of them. This is so important that we breathe this in right now. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all, everybody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all baptized with the person and power of Holy Spirit. Now, understand something. All of these folks had been saved. All of these folks had been water baptized. And now all of these folks were baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys know in the life of a believer, you've got the saved life, that's salvation. And then you've got the sanctified life, and water baptism helps represent that as well. Because how many of you guys know once you get saved, you gotta learn how to live sanctified? What does that mean? It means you learn how to live set apart unto God and set apart from the things of the world. And that is an ongoing process. How many of you guys know the Bible says we are sanctified, but we're still being sanctified? And then one day we'll be fully sanctified because we'll be with Jesus. But we're saved, and then there's a sanctified life, but then there's a Spirit-filled life. How many of you guys know we need a Spirit-filled life? Listen, if you can understand that you need a Spirit-filled life, hear me very clearly. It only happens. You only have a Spirit-filled life when you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've never been taught that before. You disagree with me. If you disagree with me, we need to go get a cookie and let me show you in the Word while you're not right. The only way you can have a Spirit-filled life is to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. If you believe that, somebody say amen. And so we see this. The Spirit-filled life comes when you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But let's talk about this quickly because some people have never heard it before. Did you know there are actually three distinct baptisms for every believer in God's Word? There are three distinct baptisms. I'm going to show you quickly. Three baptisms for believers. The first one is salvation. Do you know what happens when you get saved? That's when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. Pastor, that's not true. Well, let me show you the Bible so you can understand what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. For what? By one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into what body? The body of Christ. When you receive salvation, that is a baptism. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. The second baptism is water baptism. That's when disciples baptize other disciples in water. Matthew 28, let's see it right here. Matthew 28, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys know you don't need a pastor to baptize you? But you do need another disciple to baptize you. So see this, you've got salvation where the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. You've got water baptism where another disciple, no matter who they are, if they're a disciple of Jesus, they can baptize you in water. And then there is one more baptism. Everybody say the third baptism. You can call it the third dip and get excited like I do about graders when I think about it. Come on. This is when Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. So I didn't know Jesus was the baptizer. Let me show you from God's Word that Jesus is the one who baptized us in the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist talking, but he knew what he was talking about. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me, talking about Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So see this. There is not just one baptism for believers. There's salvation, there's water baptism, and then there is the Holy Spirit baptism. Jesus came and he established the kingdom of God on earth. He went back to the Father, but he desires to baptize all of us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now that word baptize in the Greek is the word baptizo. Somebody say baptizo. It is the Greek word baptizo. What does that mean? It means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to submerge us and he wants to literally immerse us in the person and the power of Holy Spirit. Why would Jesus care so much about us having the Holy Spirit? Because he knows just like he needed him while he was on the earth, so do we. We need the person and the power of Holy Spirit just like Jesus. And listen, it is one baptism, but it is many fillings. Come on, somebody. Listen, I don't know if you know this. You can be refilled with the Holy Spirit every day if you want to be. You want to know how I know? Because you can ask Jesus to just baptize you with the Holy Spirit again. You say, well, Pastor, is it really necessary? In layman's terms, let me break it down for a minute. Yes, and here's why. Because you leak. That's funny, but I want you to think about it for a minute. How many of you guys know if you're really doing everything God desired you to do, that everything's not supposed to flow just to you, it's supposed to flow through you? So sometimes you need to get refilled again because you've emptied out. You've emptied out yourself in making disciples. You've emptied out yourself in serving and giving and being everything God desires you to be. Well, guess what? Because you're not perfect, because you do not have a heavenly immortal body, sometimes you leak and you need to get refilled again. And so understand, it's one baptism, but it's many fillings. And listen, there is no limit on how many times you can be filled with the Spirit. You know what I did this morning, sitting at my kitchen table at 6 o'clock in the morning, drinking coffee out of my Maker's coffee mug? I said, Jesus, I need you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit again this morning. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came in, and tears started running down my face. And I started speaking in a heavenly language, and the goodness of God was flowing right into my kitchen. Do you want to know why? Because it is a gift that Jesus wants everyone to receive. And listen, it's not something you say, well, I got baptized the Holy Spirit one time. Get baptized every day, my goodness. Let's go ahead and stay full of the Lord. Do your neighbor and say, stay full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, tell them, stay full of the Holy Spirit. But we can see this and understand why this is so important. And some of you I know, maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know about needing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just ask the question, is Jesus our example as believers of how to live on earth? If he is really our example and Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, then hear me clearly, you need the Holy Spirit. You need him in every part of your life. What does 1 John 2:6 say? You should live your lives as Jesus did. You should live your lives as Jesus did. So if Jesus needed to receive Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, don't we need the Holy Spirit as well? Come on, everybody shout yes. That was an easy one and some of you missed it. But these three baptisms, do you know Jesus had all three of these? Did you know that? I'm gonna show you in the Word of God, in case you didn't know. First one, salvation. Now this one's funny. Did Jesus get saved? No, because Jesus saves. Come on. But see, you can go back to John chapter 3 when he tells Nicodemus that if you're born into the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Why do people have to be born again? Because we weren't born right the first time. Jesus didn't have to get reborn because he was born right the first time. Come on, somebody. So understand, Jesus, no, he didn't have to receive salvation because he was born right the first time. But salvation, then water baptized. How many of you guys know Jesus got water baptized? Did you know Jesus? Listen, right here, Jesus was water baptized. John baptized him. Go read Matthew chapter 3 and you'll see Jesus was water baptized. And he told John, no, John. He said, it needs to be done this way and there's a reason why. He was showing the way for us. But then in that same Matthew chapter 3, after he was water baptized, that's when Jesus was also baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember? Matthew chapter 3, it says, after he came out of the water, it said, the heavens opened, open heavens over Jesus in that moment. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God came down not as a dove, but like a dove. And it literally, the Holy Spirit sat upon Jesus. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus needed the Holy Spirit just like we need the Holy Spirit. And so I need you to see something. Just like there is a Trinity, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three baptisms that are a complete work for every believer. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, listen to me. You're missing out on a gift from God. You need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it continues to do something supernatural in your life. Let me show you. Throw that one. When you get saved, here's what happens. When you get saved, here's what happens. You are a new creation in Christ. When you get water baptized, after you come out of that water, the old person is now cut off. And then Holy Spirit, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, that is the power that you need to walk in the new life that God has given you. Somebody say amen to the truth of God's word. See, you need all three of these. There are so many people, listen to me, there are so many people trying to make it on the first two. And listen, you can go to heaven and only experience the first two, but why would you go through life on an empty tire Schwinn when you could be riding a Harley everywhere? Think about that for a minute. Why would you make life harder than it has to be without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Listen, the Holy Spirit is the difference maker from us to struggle through life, but for us walking in the fullness of what God has in our lives. And so we can see those things. We can see that salvation, you're a new creation in Christ, water baptism, the old person is cut off. And then when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that is the power of God to walk in the new life he has given you. Somebody say amen. So we need the power and the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, what happens when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Two things happen. When you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the first thing is you receive the person of Holy Spirit. You receive the person of Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He's your friend, he's your helper, and he's your God. Now, we're gonna keep going in this series after today, if you're wondering. We're gonna go through this series about the next 12, 13 weeks, so get ready. Maybe not that long, but definitely a little longer. He's your friend, and he's a friendship that brings so many benefits to you. He's your helper, and he's your God. When you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you receive the person of Holy Spirit, and you need him more than you could ever imagine. Why? Because the Bible says he's not just with you, he is in you. He's not just with you, he's in you. But the second thing you receive when you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit is you receive power. Somebody say power. Is it a power from this world? Is it a natural power? No, it is a power from heaven that is supernatural in every part of your life. Look to your neighbor and say, you need power. You need power. We need power. Power for what? You see, those verses there, those all talk about how when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we receive power that we did not have. Power for what? Power to be effective witnesses for the kingdom. Power to receive, power to be bold and courageous in our faith. Power to understand the Bible in greater ways. Power to walk in victory over Satan. And power to live and walk in the supernatural on a consistent basis. Can I just vent for a minute? I am so frustrated with seeing the church walk in power one day and the next be all defeated and weak. How many of you guys know that should not be the reputation of the church? If we are the remnant, if we are the church of the living Savior, if we are the church of the Lord, we should not be powerful one week and defeated the next. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to get filled as many times as we can so we can walk in the supernatural power of God and walk in victory and walk in the fullness of who he is every day that we live. If you believe that, I need somebody to give the Lord praise for the power of the Holy Spirit. Understand something, because I think so many times we've missed this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for manifestation of spiritual gifts. Those are wonderful. We saw one of the gifts of the Spirit right here today. There was a word of knowledge that operated through a disciple of Jesus that encouraged the whole body. Praise the Lord for the word of the Lord. But listen, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not just for manifestation of gifts. It is for the mobilization of the church. That we don't just come here and feel good about ourselves and then go hide in our holy holes at our homes and don't do anything. But it is power to go into the world to make disciples and make a difference. It is the power that you need to go be bold about your faith, to share who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. And it's power to go lay hands on the sick so they can recover, to go lay hands and declare healing and miracles, to live in the fullness of who God is. It's not just for manifestation. It is to mobilize the body so we understand we are not just called to gather, but we are called to go. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not just for enjoyment. I love the Holy Spirit, and I enjoy his company and his presence in my life. But the Holy Spirit is also for deployment. There's a reason our mission statement here at Makers doesn't just say discover and develop. Too many Christians have discovered who Jesus is, and they have developed in what they've wanted to develop in, but they forgot there's another thing called you gotta deploy into the world. You gotta do, look to your neighbor and say, do something. Listen to me. I love you. I love you. But if you're not doing anything for the kingdom, you're being disobedient to the command of Jesus. Is that too strong? I had black coffee this morning. I'll chill out. If you are not deployed into the world and shining the light of Jesus and sharing your faith and serving and loving and letting the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit be evident in your life, you're missing the most important part. The Holy Spirit is not just for you to enjoy him and then put him in your box and then go out into the world. He is for deployment. He empowers and equips you to do everything that Jesus has commanded you to do. If you believe that, somebody say amen. He wants to do that in and through your life. Because why? That's what the Holy Spirit does for each of us. So see this. We need the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. But you say, Pastor, all that stuff that happened in Acts chapter 2 is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Is Pentecost, is it really for us today like it was for them? Yes. It's the same. They needed Holy Spirit, and we need Holy Spirit. If you're with me, somebody say amen. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2 for a minute. Acts chapter 2, go to verses 2 through 4. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And let's talk about verse 3. Let's talk about this part where some of you guys get weirded out. Appeared divided tongues as of fire. The root word there is David. And you know what that means? It means individual tongues. Individual tongues of fire. Why is it important that it was individual? Because everybody got one. Everybody got one. It's like Oprah, you get a car and you get a car, you get a car. Everybody got one. That word there lets us know it wasn't that they were divided, like they were divided in the room. No, they were unified, but divided in the sense of the Holy Spirit came down and every individual got a tongue of fire. Somebody say amen. So that's what we can see that happens here. Let me go further. And it says, and one sat upon each of them and they were all filled. Notice the words each and all. It was for each of them and all of them. It was for each of them and all of them. Hear me, please. Pentecost is for today, and it is for each of us and all of us. For too long, people have relegated Pentecost to a denomination. Now, I have a lot to say about that, but I'm going to be good today. But I need you to understand something about Pentecost. Pentecost is not a denominational religious thing. Pentecost is a kingdom thing. It's a kingdom concept. It's a kingdom manifestation. That's why God said there is a feast of Pentecost. Why? Because in Leviticus 23, he said, these are my feasts. They're not religious man-made anything. They are from me. So Pentecost is not for some people. Pentecost is for each believer and all believers. It is for each of us. Say it's for me. Pentecost is for all of us. And listen, it's not just for people over 25. It's for people that are 7, 8, and 9 years old too. Pentecost is for not just adults. Pentecost is for our sons and daughters. You want to know how you see this generation battle gender confusion and battle the perverse spirits that operate in this world? We need our sons and daughters to get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and they will not be susceptible to the tactics of the enemy, but they'll walk in power. They'll walk in truth. They'll walk in the anointing of the Lord in every part of their lives. Hallelujah. Okay, Pentecost is for today, and it is for each of us and all of us. Now, I know for some folks, depending on how you grew up and what you've been taught or seen, tongues is a scary word. It comes from the Greek word glossa. Can you think of any word from our language that we could see the word glossa? How about the word glossary? And you know what glossary means? It means languages. Glossary means languages. The Bible says they begin to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability or the utterance. Did they conjure it up on their own? No. Did they have to speak? Yes, they had to speak, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave them the ability to do so. We're going to talk about that more in a minute, but understand, it is not something you, oh, so Pastor, when we pray in the Spirit, that means we're just thinking of things and we're saying it? Absolutely not. Our only responsibility is to speak when the Holy Spirit's ready to speak. That's our only responsibility. Open up our mouths. Come on, man. Open up your mouth and speak what you hear the Holy Spirit saying. But I want you to see this. So glossary means languages. They spoke in heavenly languages. Listen to me. We cannot be afraid of speaking in tongues. Come on, somebody say amen louder at that one, please. We cannot be afraid of speaking in tongues. We cannot be afraid of speaking in tongues. We cannot be afraid of speaking in tongues. Listen, it is a supernatural language. Did I say a natural language? It is a supernatural language. Listen, it's not gonna make sense with our natural logic. Do you wanna know why? Because it's not natural, it's supernatural. It's not gonna make sense to our logical mind because it is not natural, it is supernatural. Let me go here for a minute. It blows me away when people who are believers believe so much of the kingdom and the truth of God's word, and then when we start talking about praying in the spirit, they're like, oh, that's too far. You ever met anybody like that? I've met lots of folks like that. And you know what I tell them? In fact, I just had this conversation a few weeks ago with somebody. They said, yeah, like I'm with all that, but when you start talking about speaking in tongues, man, I'm good. And I said, hang on for a minute. So let me ask you a question. I said, you say you're a believer in Jesus. They said, yes. I said, so you're telling me that you believe that Jesus, who has always existed, came to earth as a baby. Came to earth as a baby. He was inside of a woman that he created, and she gave birth to him, and she was a virgin. I said, you believe that, but you tell me praying in the spirit's crazy. Come on, think about this. Let's be logical for a minute. You say you believe that, but praying in the Holy Ghost, oh, that's for weird people. What? Let me go further. Not only do you believe that Jesus, who created this person, was inside of her womb and she was a virgin and gave birth to him, you also believe that then Jesus grew up on the earth and he never sinned one time, and then he died on the cross for the sins of humanity, and then 3 days later, he got back up and raised himself from the dead. Hang on for a minute. I'm thankful that he did that. But you're telling me you believe all that, but you're afraid of a supernatural language that is a benefit to you, that you can pray in the Holy Spirit? That's too far? Look to your neighbor and say, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, let me ask this question. Logically, does that make sense when I say it that way? No. You're like, well, actually, now it doesn't sound that bad. Correct. You're right. It doesn't. You want to know why? There's only one reason that we can find in the Word of God, well, multiple, let me back up, that we pray in the Spirit, in tongues. The Bible says that no man can tame the tongue, but you know who can? The Holy Spirit, because he's God and he can tame this thing. But the Bible even says, and we'll talk about this later, did you know that praying in the Spirit is a benefit to you? It's not a benefit to God, it's a benefit to you. He gave it as a gift and a grace of God upon your life because it benefits us. So please, if you're here today and you have convinced yourself that tongues is weird, it is not weird. We gave that up a long time ago. You wanna know why? Because the Bible says that we are a peculiar people. You know what that means? That means you've been weird since you said yes to Jesus. So go ahead and embrace it and say the Holy Spirit's not weird. He is wonderful. Somebody say amen if you believe that. Now, let's keep going for a minute. Don't be afraid of tongues. How many of you guys really received that this morning? So maybe somebody, don't be afraid of tongues. Listen. It is a supernatural language. It doesn't make sense to a logical mind because it's not natural. It's supernatural. Supernatural. But let's talk about this for a minute. The Bible says that when they begin to speak in this heavenly language, other people heard the wonderful works of God. You know what in those languages, they were declaring the goodness and majesty of God? Literally, on the day of Pentecost, they were actually speaking in other dialects and languages that other people understood, and they were hearing them, and they were talking about how great God was. That's supernatural, church. But notice what the Bible says. I want us to see this. I think this is important, too, as it helps to us really processing all of these things. It says that there was it says tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Now, this is my opinion, and let me clarify when I say that. But the Bible does say appeared individual tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. My personal opinion is that fire sat on top of their head like this. Everybody do this. Now, rub your belly at the same time. I'm just kidding. Do this. Now, I believe that that tongue of fire sat on their head. So what did that mean? That means that I could see yours, but I couldn't see my own. I couldn't see it. And I think it's important. You say, well, if it's on top of your head, every time you would try to see yours, you would do this. Because it's on top of your head. Can you see the top of your head? No. But I believe that those tongues of fire sat on your head. So you could see other people's, but you couldn't see your own. Why is that important? Because that means you would have to believe by faith that you had received one also. And we're not led by what we see. We're led by our faith. And it's funny, how do you actually receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? By faith. Through faith. Just like you receive Jesus by grace. Through what? Through faith. So listen to me. Stop being so caught up in all of these little things that are tripping you up. And just say, Lord, I need the person and the power of Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you, for those 120 people, and then for everything they did in the world, they and the world were never the same when they received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys know our world needs to be turned upside down for the kingdom? Because there's a lot of things that are upside down now. It needs to be recorrected with the power of the Holy Ghost. But you know, the world's not going to do that because the Bible says in John 14, the world can't receive the Holy Spirit because they don't know who he is. But we do. And we should be led by the power of Holy Spirit in everything we do. If you believe that, say amen. I'm almost done. Come on, everybody stand to your feet. Come on. You receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit by faith. Now, I got one more verse I'm going to show you, and then we're going to get in the altar. We're all going to get in the altar. Look to your neighbor and say, everybody's getting to the altar. Everybody's getting to the altar. Everybody. Everybody's getting to the altar. Everybody can experience Pentecost today. Everybody. Listen, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says, and being assembled together, this is Jesus with them, he commanded them to not depart for Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. To wait for the promise of the Father. How many of you guys know, what is that promise? Is it tongues? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The promise is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Then you go to Acts chapter 2 and you see Peter. After he's received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, he is preaching to a crowd of 3,000 or multiple thousand. Here's what he said. He was preaching to a huge about after being baptized, the Holy Spirit says, now when they heard this, talking about the people, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. You know what that is? Salvation, repent, water baptism. And then he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. How many of you guys know when he says, and to all who are afar off, do you guys know who he was talking about then? Because were we there that day? Are we of Jewish descent by natural birth? No. But he said, the promise is not just for you, but it's to all who have been called, and even those who are afar off. Listen, do you know that it wasn't just them who were called, but all of us have been called? 1 Peter 2:9, we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter was revealing to those people listening that the baptism and the gift of Holy Spirit, listen, is a multicultural, multi-generational gift to whoever will want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the person of the Holy Spirit. And not just one time, but every day.